Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 12. John 12. I'd like to consider verses 14 to 19 this morning. Coming up to this passage, the Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead. People were standing there. People saw it happen. They heard the Lord Jesus Christ tell some that were standing there, remove the stone. The stone was removed. The Lord cried with a loud voice, the Scripture said. They were standing there. They heard Him speak. He called Lazarus in particular from the dead. And the Scripture says that Lazarus, bound hand and foot, face covered with a napkin, came forth. I've told you, when I preached on that passage of Scripture, it just intrigued me. He was bound hand and foot. How could he walk? The Lord had called him from the dead. Don't you think the Lord could cause him to walk, even bound hand and foot? How do we walk today, Carl? But for the grace of God. Here we are, in ourselves, bound. Oh, but by His grace, Lazarus came forth. And there was a different effect on different people. Back, the Scripture says back in chapter 11, verse 45-46, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. But the fame of our Lord spread. And when it was time for Him to be glorified, that is, for Him to place Himself in the hands of sinful men, they didn't take His life from Him. He gave it. When it came time for Him to lay down His life, to be crucified, to be buried, to be raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, when that time was coming, time was now. The Scripture says over in verse 13 of chapter 12, the people took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet Him, and cried, "Hosanna, save now. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." They saw His fame. And they saw that fame to be their salvation from Rome. This is the one that's going to save us from our oppressors. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 12. Scripture says, "And Jesus, when He had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt.'" Here they saw. Now they knew, Zechariah 9:9, I'll read this to you. This is what the prophet said. under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh. He's been coming. He's coming. Thy King cometh unto thee. He's just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, fold of an ass. That was one of the signs they were looking for. This was the one who was born of a virgin. That was prophesied. This is the one that was confirmed by the Lord God Himself with miracles and signs and wonders. This is the one. This is who we're looking for. And now He's riding on a colt of an ass. He's on a donkey. That's Him. That's the one that Zechariah had spoken of. And they, many of them, not all of them, but many of them were looking for that deliverer from the bondage of their oppression. Oh, but for those that by the grace of God saw Him as the deliverer from the bondage of sin. That's who He came to save. Not for those that looked for Him as just merely one that would relieve them from temporary oppression. That is the religion of this world. You're not going to be poor. You're not going to be sick. Everything's going to be great. No. There's some precious people that we know right now that are sick. Lazarus was one of them. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Our Lord humbled Himself, made Himself of no reputation. And without the worldly pomp, splendor, this is not the way that an earthly victor would come into town. An earthly victor is going to come into town. He's going to get him a white horse. He's going to have a beautiful saddle. He's going to be on that, that gorgeous animal. He's going to have all of his finery on. He's going to have an entourage that's going to be up in front of him announcing. He's just, here I am. This is me. Check it out. Check me out. Here's the way he came in. Riding on a donkey. This world would look at that and laugh. That's the Savior. That's the one that all of the Scriptures has announced is coming. This is He, but without worldly pomp, without all of the splendor, here was the mighty God. Here's might. Here's power. The one that is able to humble Himself. I've said before, nobody that's ever been born in Adam has that ability to humble himself. Just proud, arrogant. Nobody wants to be humbled. I want to be exalted. That's my nature. I want you to talk well of me. I want you to. But to make himself of no reputation, to submit himself to the suffering of the cross, the humiliation, laying down his life and have men spit on him, curse him, in obedience to at his father's command, the servant, the mighty God. No might, but his might. No power, but his power. All power. Here he was, in absolute humiliation, in all power, doing whatsoever his heart pleased. Moving all things according to the counsel of his own will. People looked at him and said, look, it was God Almighty. Emptied himself. Rejected of men. Meekness. Submission. Submitting himself to ride a beast of service. And the scripture says in verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. You know, it's so blessed to behold the truthfulness of Scripture. Scripture never paints man. Man born in Adam never paints man any other way than the way he is. This is the way he is. This is what he is by nature. Doesn't hide anything. Here was the apostles, our Lord's disciples. And the scripture says, they didn't understand at first what was going on. The Lord had sent them, get this colt. If anybody asks you, you tell them the master needs him. Got him. Didn't understand what was going on. Had no understanding that the Spirit of God was accomplishing God's purpose. What they were doing. Let me ask you something. What's really going on right now? What's really happening right now, Jeff? Right now. I don't know. I don't know what Almighty God is saying to you. I don't know. I know the message. I know the message. I know it's the gospel of God's grace. I know it's the gospel of sovereign saving grace. I know that. I know that this word is not going to return void. But I don't know what God is saying to you. After the Lord was glorified on the day of Pentecost, after he was ascended into heaven, when it pleased God to send the Spirit of God, the Scripture says these things, verse 16, understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. How did they remember? The Spirit of God brought them back to their memory. The Lord says, I must ascend back to my Father. If I don't ascend, the Comforter's not going to come. But when He comes, my Father will give you another Comforter. And when He's come, what's He going to do? What is the Spirit of God always going to do? Number one, He's going to speak of Christ. He's going to bring back to your memories the things that I've told you. I had someone ask me the other day, how do you know if someone is indwelt by the Spirit of God? Here's how you know. The things that our Lord has said in His Word. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of the Lord. The Spirit of God brings back these words in power to your heart. God Almighty teaches His people what Christ has to say, and they believe it. And the Spirit of God brings no attention to himself. He shall not speak of himself. When someone says, I tell you what, boy, He's indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Look at the things that the Holy Ghost is manufacturing and telling about Himself. Speaking in these unknown languages. The Lord said He won't speak of Himself. He'll speak of Me. Then they remembered. God's people do not understand. These didn't understand at first. They didn't realize when they went and fetched that little donkey that they were performing the ceremony of the inauguration of Zion's king coming in to that city, fulfilling the Scripture. They didn't realize it at first. But when He was glorified, then the Spirit of God brought back to their memory. That's what Zechariah was talking about. We went and got that donkey like He told us to. Oh, how often does the Lord bring about His will and we fail to realize it at first. We look back, see some things that happened, and have somewhat of an understanding of what was going on. But in time, when the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified, whenever the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, then they remembered. Verse 17, 18, the people therefore that was with Him when He called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. And for this cause, the people also met Him, for that they heard that He had done this miracle. The Comforter had taught them. And the musing on the things that the Lord had done and said was a blessing to them. Those that had been there with Him saw that miracle, saw Him raise Him from the dead. They said what they saw. They bore record of it. Here was a glorious revelation. And though so much ignorance prevailed, though so many did not believe Him, though the disciples were ignorant at first, God doesn't leave His people in darkness. They shall all be taught of God. But though they were ignorant of all the unveilings that were going on before their eyes, the Lord continued to maintain a witness of His deity. They bore record. We readily admit we are ignorant people. But I'm telling you, Almighty God maintains a record, a witness of His truth. And though we do walk with blinders, we see through a glass darkly. But I can look back now. I look back over the last few months. What was the Lord doing at the moment He spoke to those people that had recently confessed Him in baptism? What was He doing? I didn't know. But now, I can look back and see something of what was going on. These bear record. Oh, thanks be unto our God. Salvation is not according to our understanding. Concerning these things, I'm thankful that God's moving, God's working, God's salvation is not dependent upon me or upon my ability to be able to voice the words. I want to say things as truthfully, faithfully as I know how, to weigh the words. I want to say the right thing. But I know this. I don't have the ability to impart life. If Almighty God does not give life, it's not given. It's not there. For this cause, because of what they heard, verse 18, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done the miracles. In verse 19, the Pharisees, therefore, because of those bearing record, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him." The Pharisees were saying, "We're not going to gain anything by delaying and allowing this man to continue. Something must be done now, or it's too late. It's going to be too late." All the world, they thought, is gone after him. As I said last week, that's presumption. No. Those that he's everlastingly loved, those that Christ died for, those the Spirit of God shall call out of darkness, they're going to come after him. The whole world is going after him. We've got to kill him. We've got to kill him. I want you to observe in closing the enmity that the carnal heart has against the Lord. I go back to that statement that I heard Brother Gary say years ago. It's been, well, at least a couple of years ago. What's wrong with giving God all the glory for salvation? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ having all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise when you realize that man can do nothing? Nothing. Leave a man to himself and he's going to perish. He's going to perish. These men, in that last verse, those Pharisees, those religious, they were moral. They were moral people. In themselves, righteous people. They wouldn't have cheated you for anything. This is the kind of people, really, that you'd probably want to have as neighbors. Wouldn't have to lock your doors. They're righteous in themselves. Moral, righteous people. There's one problem, though. A man that is righteous in himself hates God. And they had one purpose: kill him. But in doing that which they desired, God's will was being performed. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Killing the Lord Jesus Christ, was that a good act? That was murder. That was murder. Murder. But it was according to the eternal purpose of Almighty God. That was God's purpose, that His Son would die, being made sin. And with wicked hands, Peter said, you took Him and crucified the Lord of glory, all the while accomplishing the purpose of God. Lord, thank you that by you and for you and unto you is praise for these things that you're doing that we don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know what's going on in this room. I don't know. But I can tell you this. It's all according to God's purpose and God's will. And Almighty God is going to take that which is happening today, and it's going to be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the good of His people. And it's going to be for Christ's sake.